healthcare costs for retired workers. Stuart Varney, host.
Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
They say he wandered very far over many lands and seas. He was very shy, and there was so much sadness in his eyes. But very wise, so wise was he.
Charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see?
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, yo, in my bones.
make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to
sing along.
Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven ring, ring with the harmony. Oh, liberty, let our rejoice and rise high. Burning the time, loud as the Georgia.
Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our home ownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors programs. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsyl.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Hey, you want more money in your pocket, right? Savers are losers, unless you save like the rich and beat inflation. The secret? Save the right kind of money. Pure, solid, 24-karat gold or silver for as little as $20 a week, direct from the mint. Don't spend money. Exchange bad money for good money. Start today at SaveMetalMoney.com. That's SaveMetalMoney.com. The chains of slavery in the modern world are not forged with links of iron, but with the bonds of limiting ideas and debt.
Be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Team up with a company voted the 57th most promising by Forbes. With no money to collect from your customers, no credit checks, and no cost for you to join. Visit electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288. That's electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288.
Hi there, I'm the X-Man, Xavier Paul. I'm a national network voiceover talent. You've heard my voice represent hundreds of brands and businesses for the past 15 years. Well, now it's your turn. I understand how important it is to promote your business or event in the right way. That starts with quality radio spot production and the nation's top voiceover talent. You might wonder, how do I get started? What's the best approach? What voice talent do I use? And most importantly, can I do it affordably? That's why I created CoolVoiceRadio.com. I take you to the finish line, giving you everything you need to advertise effectively on the radio. I'll help you create your concept, write your spot, even choose your music and cast your voice talent and get it aired on the radio. Now that's cool. Email me today at info@coolvoiceradio.com or call 646-326-7800 because nothing beats the right sound.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Happy Monday to you all. We're going to be dealing in the situation in Detroit. Kwame Kilpatrick gets arrested. Detroit is taken over by the governor. They're saying they cannot manage their funds. What y'all think about that? I'm going to try to have some guys from Detroit, some teachers, Jason Patton, Eugene Huey, Keith Lee, and probably a couple other people call in from the Motor City and let us know what's going on. They're going to let us know what's going on in their part of town. So I'm going to go a little hip-hop. This is some Detroit music. This is from a group in Detroit called My Part of Town. Kind of gives you all the feel and the flavor about what's going on in Detroit.
My part of town, my part of town is similar to Vietnam. My part of town, my part of town is similar to Vietnam. My part of town is similar to Vietnam.
You don't know, cause you don't feel what I feel.
My part of town, my part of town is similar to Vietnam.
You don't know, cause you don't feel.
I'm from the place of domestic violence, where the people dying from the self-hatred virus, where the kids go to school and they think learning is cruel. Must forget about the kids in the world with no food, a food to eat for a freaking week. We walk around $100 sneakers on our feet and brag and boast in the ghettos as we toast the Patron, claiming streets we don't even own, on crone in our home. Heart devoid of a father figure, that's why the brothers be out here like I'm a
gangster nigga.
Learn your history lesson, learn how they slaughtered and murdered our ancestors. Now that's gangster, how they did our ancestors. Now you ain't a gangster cause you say it on the record, huh? The real gangster, you fakers, all the automakers and the bankers that still owe us 40 acres.
My part of town, my part of town is similar to Vietnam.
You don't know,
pockets is empty, ain't that strange? Of course
across 8 Mile, it's calm. Detroit is more similar to Vietnam. And the unified niggas is a hard ass job. We wanna live in these slums and let our sounds go. Boom, boom, dumb when we young. Be damned if it's one of my sons not come where I'm from.
Where you from?
And take a walk down Murder Lane on the Ave where the girls are insane. Put the sag, I hate on the flag. How long will this foolishness last? Can you add, do the math, huh? Fast food plus some cartoons, plus the lack of love, equal kids so rude. Parents too soon, killing to get more.
Get money,
we're spiritually poor, this is war.
My part of town, fuck my part of town. It's similar to Vietnam.
You don't know.
Your copper wiring, or even worse off, get to firing. Have you down chasing pavement because your car's there admiring. I bet you wouldn't think it's over then. Tough times turn warm hearts to colder men. And it ain't just the youth, it's the older men. It's floating after so long from holding in. Pain stains the heart till you can't smile. And Vietnam ain't got nothing on Finkel to 8 Mile. It's enough to make your bones quiver. I'm surprised they ain't put battleships in the Detroit River. This ain't living, this is hell. People feel like they living in a prison, no different than a cell. Cause they scared to walk the streets they dwell, wondering if they gonna be another innocent kill. Cause cats lost consciousness, they killing that will. Whatever happened to the love revealed? Let's bring it back, huh?
My part of town, my part of town. It's similar to Vietnam.
You don't know.
Yeah, that's my part of town from Troopers Lodge, group out of Detroit. Let's get into the Detroit mess. I got some guys holding on. Before I bring them in, before I bring you guys in, gentlemen and Jason and my man Huey, I'm going to play a little excerpt of what's going on in Detroit so my listeners can know what's up, and then y'all give me y'all feeling. I know I got y'all on for the Kwame Kilpatrick. I'm going to deal with that, but what's pressing me, guys, is this Detroit, the government takeover. But I'm going to deal with Kwame Kilpatrick first, I mean second, but let me get y'all opinion on this right here.
And it turns out local governments in the U.S. are facing their own budget woes. One in especially big trouble is Detroit. The city faces a budget deficit of more than $300 million and has lost a quarter million residents in the past decade. Today, Michigan's Governor Rick Snyder announced plans to appoint an emergency manager to oversee the city's finances and operations. That would make it the largest U.S. city under state control. Snyder spoke at a community forum today.
It's time to say we should stop going downhill. It is time to say we need to start moving upward with the city of Detroit. There have been many good people that have had many plans, many attempts to turn this around. They haven't worked. The way I view it, today is a day to call all hands on deck. To say there's been too much fighting, too much blame, not enough resources, not enough people working together to say, let's resolve these issues.
Detroit's Mayor Dave Bing said in a statement that he remains opposed to the move, but he would look at all options. Christy McDonald has been covering the story for Detroit Public Television, and she was at today's forum. She joins us now. Welcome to the NewsHour. Christy McDonald, my first question is, how did things get to this state in the city, to this condition in the city of Detroit?
Well, Judy, it didn't happen overnight. This has been years in the making, and when I say years in the making, it has been decades in the making. So they know that they can't turn this around overnight, but they know that they finally have to put an end to it and get actually a plan in place that's going to work for the finances and the financial mess of the city of Detroit has found itself in.
Is the governor intervening because he has to by law or because he wants to, feels he should?
Well, there is an emergency financial manager law that is in place right now in the state of Michigan that compels him to take a look at the finances. And again, this isn't anything new. The city has been under a consent agreement with the state for the past year or so, just under a year. And so what happened is about 2 months ago, it triggered another financial review. So a financial review team went into the city, took a look at the books over 2 months, and finally came out last week with their findings for the governor and said, you've got to take a look at this. We think the city's in a financial emergency. Now you have to take a look and see if that is indeed you agree with that.
And what is it that the state taking over the city, what would the state be able to accomplish that the mayor and local officials can't do on their own?
Well, there's had to have been a lot of agreement with the mayor and with the city council, and that's been a bit of a problem for the last couple of years. What the emergency financial manager is going to be able to do in this day, that they have a wide range of powers where they don't have to have a lot of agreement. They don't have to have agreement from the city council. They don't have to have agreement with the mayor. They can come in and start to take a look at some city contracts. They can come in and start to take a look at some city departments that have to be reformed. And they can come in and take a look at the finances, at that long-term debt that you talked about, and see how they can start chopping it.
And help us understand, Christy McDonald, why is the mayor opposed? I mean, if this is a way to come in and cut through what I hear you saying is some of the local politics disagreements, why is the mayor so opposed?
Well, an emergency financial manager is pretty much going to take his job, Judy. It moves the mayor to the side a bit, and it moves the city council to the side. The mayor is not totally opposed. He says he wants to continue to work with the state, and I think if the mayor and the city council had their way, they would like another consent agreement that would maybe have some more stringent milestones that they could meet. But essentially, that emergency financial manager, they're the ones that are going to be in charge, that person, he or she, whoever that is, and they're the ones that are going to be making those big decisions, and it's going to marginalize the position of the administration.
We know the demographics of the city of Detroit, the whole state of Michigan, very different. The state, largely white majority population, Republican governor. The city, heavily Democratic, a large African-American population. What role is politics and race playing in all this, if any?
Well, there is a racial divide in Detroit and in the Detroit area, Judy, and that's no secret. And I can't tell you that this city, which is largely African-American, is 100% joyful that a white Republican governor is going to be coming in and exerting some control over the city finances. But there is a growing majority of people that says, look, bottom line is we want to make sure that our trash gets picked up. We want to make sure that the abandoned building that's on our block or right next door to our house gets knocked down. We want to make sure that when we call police, police come. And those are the services that they need to restore to the city of Detroit and to the residents. So at this point in time, people are starting to put a race conversation aside. And in actuality, there is a viable candidate for mayor. We are in an election year right now, who is white, and he has a very good chance. He's very popular right now. And so that has really changed the discussion in this area. But the bottom line is people really want services. And they say, look, if this can get us the services that we need, that we should be paying for, then that's what we want to see.
So what happens now? The mayor has, what is it, just a matter of days to take another look at this to see if he can do something before the state does step in?
It's a 10-day appeals process, Judy. And so the mayor then can come forward and say, well, this is maybe why, Governor Snyder, you should change your decision. There has been one or two members of the Detroit City Council who have talked about perhaps that they should get some kind of legal representation to legally challenge that. I'm not quite sure how far that's going to go. And I'm not quite sure how much the governor, he will listen to an appeal, but he seems pretty straightforward that he wants to go forward with this emergency financial manager. Again, he hasn't named he or she, but seems pretty firm in who he has in mind.
Christy McDonald with Detroit Public Television. Thank you.
Thanks, Judy.
Now, that was about a week old. I know you want to talk, I was trying to talk about the situation with Kwame Kilpatrick, deal with that. Jason Patton, from educated from Detroit area, what we just played and what you just heard, what's your comment?
Well, this is some, you know, thanks for having you on here, man, and asking me to speak out on this. This is some things that have been going on in Detroit for, you know, the longest, and really the catalyst of this was years ago when they, another Republican governor had basically lifted the residency requirement for city workers. So basically no longer, this happened maybe about 10, 12 years ago, to where city workers don't have to live in the city to be able to work for the city of Detroit. And when they lifted that, that really kind of started the mass exodus of people from Detroit, you know, started losing our population in droves. And then in 1999, again, that same Republican governor came in and took over Detroit public schools. And this was at a time when there was no financial emergency. We had a $93 million surplus plus a $40 million rainy day fund. And, you know, academically, we were above the median in the state, and we were doing better than some districts around the country. And in 94, the city, the people of Detroit voted for a $1.5 billion bond, you know, construction bond to, you know, to go in to renovate schools, build new schools. And because a certain, you know, a certain demographic of people were not getting the contracts, you know, from that, they went to this governor, and in turn he came in and took over, you know, the city. And basically this kind of led up to where we are now, you know, with the governor coming in wanting to impose this emergency manager. But now let's move forward, you know, let's move back just to November. We just had an election, November of 2012, and there was another emergency manager law that, you know, we had some grassroots organizations that got that put on the ballot. It was suspended and in turn repealed on November 6th. And so the Republican legislator, just a month later, through a lame, in the lame duck session, they came back and crafted another similar, almost identical emergency manager law and pushed it through. So there's a lot of implications here that, you know, they're talking about bringing in, you know, a legal aspect on that. But we got to get the feds in on this, because if they're not going to come in, if Obama, Holder are not going to come in and get in on this, then shame on them, you know, because that's, you know, where it's gone. We've already voted. 52% of the state of Michigan, 83% of the voters in Detroit voted that we did not want this emergency manager law, you know, with the state of Michigan. But this Republican governor and the legislator, they, you know, gave that no regard, and now they come back in and put, you know, a similar law right back into place. So basically, it's, you know, they're really trying to take us back to slavery.
Yeah, well, check this out. What, being from Detroit, what does the position do Democratic state legislator has? Because do Detroit have any Republican state legislators? Any Republican state legislators or state senators?
No, I don't know. No, not as far as Detroit. No, you know, all the, you know, the legislators and, you know, the state senators.
What about Warren? What about Warren, Michigan? Is that a Democratic city? Warren.
I'm not, I'm not sure. I think it's Democratic, but that may be Republican too. I know a lot of outlying areas like Oakland, you know, County, and some of those.
I'm going to come at you, really. Just follow me, JP. Now, is Warren County, is that a Democratic county or a Republican county?
You know, I'm going to say Republican. I think it's Republican, if I'm
going to be wrong. I want you to investigate it, because now we know that we can blame, you know, I'm Republican too, so I'm with Detroit, big town, everybody, my people out there know that, because I have family, friends, a lot of people out there. And I too feel that the takeover by the government is asinine. If it starts there in Detroit, I would see it might happen to Gary, then St. Louis and Pittsburgh, and who knows, maybe Harvey, then Chicago. You know, it's a precedent that needs to be looked at. But the reason I'm looking at it right here is that seeing how Detroit that had a Democratic mayor, one of those went to jail, and I'm full disclosure, I'm very familiar and friends with the Kilpatricks, full disclosure. And we just had this gentleman get some jail time. We had, I guess to me, one of the liveliest mayors Detroit had back in the day was Coleman Young, and things were kind of booming in Detroit. But the black city councilmen, or the black county commissioners, or the black state legislators or the white Democratic state legislators or the white Democratic councilmen. Seeing how Detroit is primarily Democrat, and let me get this straight, is Detroit the biggest city in Michigan?
Yes.
Right, and if you win Detroit, you basically win the state, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So
that's correct.
Right, so what I'm saying is this, and I'm not trying to promote the Republican Party because I understand the Democrats could be upset with what they perceive as the Republican governor doing what they're doing, but could it be that the mismanagement of these black elected Democratic officials, could it be that they had allowed the motor to deteriorate to the point to where it is now that if it wasn't a Republican governor, a Democratic governor probably did the same thing, that they can have the state legislature come in and try to move on Detroit? Is it the blame of the, I say, is it the governor's fault, or is it the city management or the councilman and the mayor's fault? I don't know. Could you help me out here?
Well, it's like this. One, you know, I'm not putting it all on the Republicans because we had a Democratic governor that actually imposed the emergency manager on Detroit Public Schools, you know, Jennifer Granholm. She was the one that brought in this, you know, Robert Bob, who came in and, you know, and just, you know, pillaged Detroit Public Schools, ballooned our debt, you know, even more. And all the debt that Detroit Public Schools had, you know, came under the agents of an agent of the state. But I'll tell you this, you know, what's going on in Detroit. What it is, I'm not going to say it's the mayor, the city government, our legislators, but I put it more so on the people because, it's up to us to put the right people in office. And many times we just get in here and we don't do our homework, we don't do our due diligence, we just vote for people off of name recognition or just because somebody says something, you know, that we look good, because like when Kwame Kilpatrick, you know, ran for mayor the first time, I voted for him, I supported him. And then as soon as he got in office, he started, you know, doing all these things. And I don't put anything on anybody but that man making those decisions that he made, you know, and now he's, you know, paying the consequences. He's, you know, suffering the consequences of his decisions. So I don't put that on anybody. You're a grown man. Nobody forced you to do anything that you did. And for you to be in a position that you were, and for you to do your city, you know, and I don't have any, you know, doubt that he didn't love, the city of Detroit, but, but he just, you know, was just focused on himself too much. So, but like I said, the people just put folks in office, and when he did all that foolishness, you still have people out there supporting him, calling, trying to, justify what he was doing. And still, you got people that are upset today. Oh, look at what they're doing. It was a witch hunt for him. No, it wasn't a witch hunt. This man did these things that were against the law. And, of course, you know, by him being a brother of a darker complexion, of course they're going to come after him with a vengeance. You know, because we can't do everything that the white boys do. And so that's coming in. So I put that really on the people, on the citizens of Detroit. We got to do better. Until we put qualified people in there, people with morals, people, you know, that with some integrity to come in and really do what they're supposed to do for the city, we're never going to, you know, Detroit is never going to rebound until that happens. So it's more so on the people and what we do and the people that we elect and put in office. Yeah, hello?
I still got you going on. Oh. Saying is that keeping in theme what's going on with Detroit, I got this group from Detroit called Sons of Thunder, and hold on, Swift. I got dude named Swift and Thomas holding on for the Detroit. I'll bring y'all in a minute. Let me go to this quick break. Sons of Thunder, have mercy on me. We're dealing with what's going on in Detroit. Kwame Kilpatrick and the emergency manager takeover.
I am a sinner. I'm battling with my flesh and that one we know as the tempter. I am not a quitter, but sometimes I do wrong. And when I do wrong, it's hard for me to move on without feeling guilt, without feeling shame. I can't point the finger, I am the one to blame. I can't really explain, all I can say is I did it. But I'm before you now with a heart that's repentant. Got myself tangled up, now my spirit strangled up. I know what I'm in for, chasing is about to come. I am not a bastard, I am one of your sons. Have mercy on me and deal with me in love. Cause at that moment, God, I just got weak. So I'm making a petition to please. Have mercy on me. I made a choice and I know it was wrong. You about to spank me, but I'm saying hold on. And have mercy on me. Cause at that moment, God, I just got weak. So I'm making a petition to please. Have mercy on me. I made a choice and I know it was wrong. You about to spank me, but I'm saying hold on. And have mercy on me. There's so many things that's tempting in this world to me. When I don't have a thing, Satan shows the world to me. Sometimes I feel trapped,
like what?
Like I ain't free. As the cross of Jesus Christ allows me to be. It has to do with bad choices and decisions made. I tear myself down, but God, you always renovate. I'm at the throne of grace, cause I need help now. I'm laying on my face, cause I need help now. I did put up a good fight for a long while, till I finally reached the point to throw in the towel. And I finally broke down and gave in to that violation we all know is sin. Cause at that moment, God, I just got weak. So I'm making a petition to please. Have mercy on me. I made a choice and I know it was wrong. You about to spank me, but I'm saying hold on. And have mercy on me. Cause at that moment, God, I just got weak. So I'm making a petition to please. Have mercy on me. I made a choice and I know it was wrong. You about to spank me, but I'm saying hold on. And have mercy on me. It's a certain standard that I should live to each day. But through my failures and my mistakes, wisdom was gained. When you know better, many stripes is coming. Instead of provoking God's wrath, you should seek his loving. Don't beat yourself up, but pick yourself up. Get back in the race and then start to run. Watch your step and try to make the best move. And before you choose, ask, what would Jesus do? Yeah, we all sin. Yeah, we fall short.
We do.
But that shouldn't be a crutch for our support. Keep trying to please God. Even if you fail, keep trying to please God and try not to fail. Cause at that moment, God, I just got weak. So I'm making a petition to please. Have mercy on me. I made a choice and I know it was wrong. You about to spank me, but I'm saying hold on. And have mercy on me. Cause at that moment, God, I just got weak. So I'm making a petition to please. Have mercy on me. I made a choice and I know it was wrong. You about to spank me, but I'm saying hold on. And have mercy on me.
Even superheroes gotta be healthy. Get the Sister Girl Workout Book, a graphic novel available this Black History Month at the DuSable Museum Trading Post gift shop located at 56 and Cottage Grove in Chicago. There you'll find our growing line of hot Black Age graphic novels, or visit Only Studios at www.onlistudios.com. Plus, get your own Onlywears Art Star Denim Jacket. These one-of-a-kind special designs are available now at the Elephant Room Gallery at 703 South Wabash in Chicago. Only's wearable art brings out the art star in you. Indie today, Black Age forever at www.onlistudios.com.
Tired, stressed out, or just need me or we time? Then Phoenix Rising, Baltimore's exclusive bed and breakfast, is the place for you. Phoenix Rising offers an unforgettable, rejuvenating experience with exquisite guest rooms. Find peace and calm in the Sedona Room or Haitian Room, or relax in front of a marble fireplace in the Serengeti Room. Call 410-462-2692 today to schedule your escape to Phoenix Rising. Visit us online at phoenixrising.com.
Somewhere a child is waiting.
Somewhere a child is waiting for you, and Unity Parenting and Counseling makes it possible for that child to be connected with his new family. Unity Parenting and Counseling will help you through the application process, training, and certification. Call Brenda Weatherspoon today at 312-455-0007 to be connected at the heart. Call 312-455-0007 today so that each day that child is closer to home.
News. We have breaking news now into the 7 Action newsroom. We are just receiving word that Mayor Dave Bing is saying Governor Rick Snyder is set to announce a state takeover. This was just moments ago. He had spoken to our colleague Jim Kurtzner, who joins us on the phone now. And Jim, the mayor told you this?
Glenda, the mayor just spoke with a gathering of the Detroit Regional Chamber here at the Motor City Hotel and Casino, and it was after that event, talking with reporters, that the mayor said he was on the phone this morning with Michigan Governor Rick Snyder, and the governor told him that he will be in town tomorrow to announce the emergency financial manager will take over the city of Detroit. Now, the city has 10 days from this decision of the governor to ask for a hearing with the governor. The mayor said it's too early to tell if he will do this. He wants to talk with city council members. As I've been reporting this week, city council has been working on a revised consent agreement that could prevent a takeover. That is not a finalized document. The mayor said he has not seen it. It obviously has not been presented to the governor. Council members have also told me they have not spoken directly with the governor. They have had discussions with state treasurer Andy Dillon, but as far as any face-to-face discussions with the mayor, those have not happened. But apparently, Governor Rick Snyder will be in Detroit tomorrow, I am told, around the noon hour to announce the takeover of Michigan's largest city. Glenda?
So, Jim, what will happen to the hopes of that new consent agreement? I mean, is there time now for that?
There would not likely be time for that. That's probably a dead issue at this point. The governor recognized a week ago when he gave himself that week or so deadline that he had only two options. He could do a new revised consent agreement, but let's face it, they did one last April. That prevented the takeover last year. That has not worked to the satisfaction of just about everybody. So the only other option is an emergency financial manager. Who will that person be? We are told that that person will not be named tomorrow, but this is the next step of the takeover of Detroit.
All right, Jim, thank you. So as you just heard Jim say, coming directly from my colleague, he spoke with Mayor Dave Bing, who says Governor Rick Snyder is set to announce a state takeover tomorrow. Of course, the city now has 10 days to appeal. We will have much more on this team coverage on 7 Action News at 5.
This has been a breaking news alert from 7 Action News. Stay with 7 Action News and WXYZ.com for further developments.
Yeah, so Jason, what's up with the state treasurer? What kind of guy is he? Is he someone that can assist Detroit in getting out that situation?
Man, that's just Andy Dillon, man. He's a supposed Democrat, but this dude ran for the Democratic nomination for governor a few years ago. You know, when Rick Snyder was running, they didn't choose him. They chose the guy out of Lansing, and he was pretty much upset with that. And as soon as Rick Snyder got in, he brings this dude on as his state treasurer, and all they want to do is to come into Detroit. And to, basically just to get the assets. Detroit is a jewel. We sit on the Detroit River. We have access, total access. They've been wanting to get Detroit for years. And that's all this really is. They want to sell off our assets. Now, I'll tell you this. If Kwame Kilpatrick had got his act together and he had still been mayor, they wouldn't be talking about no state takeover. Because I guarantee you, he would not have allowed that to happen. What he allowed to happen was to be set up. And I'm not saying that other folks, weren't doing some of the things that he had done, but he just got a little too flamboyant with it, went a little too far with it, and, the white boys were like, hey, look, we got to put, this dude in his place. And they put this dude, Dave Bing, in there to basically codify what they're doing. Because he's already made the statement that he's not fighting governor on an emergency manager. He's already said that I'm just going to roll my sleeves up and I'm going to work with the emergency manager. At one point in time, this dude was, he was even contemplating about him becoming the emergency financial manager. And all they wanted to do is come in and sell, and basically get all of our assets Because if you look at what's going on in Detroit now, this guy, Dan Gilbert, you know, this guy, he's, you know, the Quicken Loans guy, he has come in, and this dude has bought up half of downtown Detroit. And if you come in and look at downtown Detroit, and then you go out and look on the outer city, man, it's two totally different places. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get us, they want us to move out. They want to come back in and take over Detroit because of the resources and all of the assets that we have here in Detroit. They've been trying to get this for a long time. And now, you know, it looks like it's getting closer and closer for them to come in and put the final nail in the coffin.
Yeah, let me bring my callers in here. I'm going to call. Hold on for a minute. Swift, what do you think about the situation that's going on in Detroit, man? What's your comment on everything, man?
Man, when you're talking about this Kwame Kilpatrick situation, first thing on that is the dude gave them too much. He gave them ammunition to do what they did to him. You know what I mean? They didn't want him in there in the first place, you know, due to his mom and everything. That was the first thing. So once they finally, once he got in there, you know, he gave them all the ammunition that they need. He was like a kid in the, you know, with both hands caught in the cookie jar, you know, multiple times too. You know what I mean? So I don't feel sorry for him. I feel sorry for his kids, you know, because dude is like, it's like this. He proved all of the myths and the, you know, all the negative comments and so forth. He proved all that to be true. And again, he gave them the ammunition to do so. So, again, I don't have any pity for him per se. I have it for his children, you know, because the media gonna eat it up. They already did it once before, and I thought that was pretty wrong on behalf of the media. They, you know, were basically putting the kids on blast on television and, you know, making them look bad. I mean, his father already did enough to the family name, so, you know, why you got to mess with the kids? But onwards to the financial manager situation. I think that, you know, I don't really see what's going to be the difference in a financial manager and a crooked mayor or a crooked politician. I'll just say that. You know, it's all about the person that's coming on board, because be it the mayor or a financial manager, the person has to be an upstanding and, you know, a person, flat out, in order to be able to handle this money. Now, with the financial manager situation, I believe that it's 18 months that they get in order to produce. And if they don't, they can be ousted by the people, you know. But I don't know if, I mean, that our back is up against it. Well, our back is up against the wall, basically, if the time limit is not already over with, because I believe it was till 5 o'clock today or 5 o'clock tomorrow, whatever it is. But the fact of the matter is, a financial manager, depending on the ethics of that person, can be a person who will come in and Genghis Khan Detroit. You know what I mean? He's just going to go in there and put his foot down, and nobody can say or do nothing against him. You know, so he can be a mover and a shaker, you know, in that sort of way. And if the people don't like it, they got to wait for so long. But then who knows what sort of damage will be and can be done in an 18 month period. I mean, we're already strapped for cash. You know, we got police officers out here every day trying to squeeze the citizens for a dollar with traffic cops and all of this here. Nobody's working. So how is the city going to replenish off of the people? It's not going to happen. You know, we're in a bad position here in the city. And I mean, it's no place from down but up, but it's about when are we going to go up? You know, that's the big question here. And I don't see much good coming out of the situation. You know, Mayor Bean got on TV a couple of days ago, and he just came flat out where he said, Detroit, we need to quit BSing ourselves. Let's do this financial manager, because there is really nothing we can do, you know. And don't know, man. It's a grave. It's a really grave situation.
Hey, what you saying? Let me bring this other caller in. It's my man, T.P. Lee, out there from the motor. What's going on, KL? What's happening, man? What's going on, Detroit? You can chime in on that Kwame Kill, Patrick Otis Financial Manager plan that since a city full of black Democrats, but black Democrat leadership is going to let a city that was called Black Metropolis just fall. What's your take on that, Kaylee?
Well, you know,
yeah.
Go ahead. I think it's do I have the air?
Yeah, you live. Go ahead.
You know, I just find it ironic that, you know, the financial manager thing is coming through the same week that they sent to Kwame. You know, it's like the timeline just works perfect. You know, one tries to justify the other by taking away the democratic system. We can never allow ourselves to be tricked into thinking that, you know, someone should always have the power to take our right to vote away. I mean, they're taking away your citizenship. I don't care if it's 18 months. It shouldn't be 1 month. No one should have the power to freeze your right to vote. They're not going to freeze the tax dollars they're taking from you as a taxpayer. So, you know,
right.
We shouldn't sit down and allow this to happen because, you know, as we know, certain people manipulate the system and play games with us, and we just buy into it all the time. They took over our school district when it was over $200 million in the red. When they got finished with it, all the schools are closing. We're losing all the students.
Right.
You know, and I think this is when we should ask for the federal government to come in and check the state. I mean, all the things they've done behind closed doors to sabotage the city, you know, people don't talk about that. You know, the first thing they did was allow city workers to leave the city. That's your tax base. That's your working class. That's your middle class. That drives the economy. Why would the state want to allow that to happen? The city didn't want that. The state wanted it. You know, so like
the underlying agendas, man.
It is an agenda. Like I said, the timeline just meets perfectly. Kwame's getting sentenced, set up, and now the emergency manager comes in, and our mayor gives up. Well, if he gives up, he needs to resign then. You know, and like I said, he's not fighting for the people in the city.
Dave
Mays
was never in the beginning. He was never in to begin with. He, you know, they brought him in to do
what he's doing now. But I just find it ironic that leaders around the city, you know, you don't hear anything. You don't really hear anything going on. I might be wrong, but I don't hear people speaking out. I don't hear the Democrat leadership speaking out. Everybody's sitting by idly as Kwame's getting lynched. And I think they almost had that too. I don't want to be next. You know, so that's the way I look at it. You know, this is a public lynching. You know, I know Kwame did some wrong things, but if we're going to be consistent, let those prosecutors go down the Lansing and make sure everybody's house is clean. Be consistent.
You know,
let's go to D.C. And look into everybody's closet in D.C. as far as in Congress. You know, I mean, you know, the thing gets deep now. You know, so nobody's house that clean. You know, so that's just something to think about. You know, we put other people on this pedestal like they don't make mistakes.
Well, you know, not to be
indeed.
Bombs in there, but some people think that the downfall to Kwame Kilpatrick was the Barack Obama rise to presidency. You see, some people think that the Clintons could not dirty up Obama, so they picked Kwame Kilpatrick to go at and figure that if they saw his exploits and how he was running a black city or a major city, that you really can't trust Barack Obama. Kind of backfired and sort of spent, and Kwame got in the mess he got in, but that was a whole little thing. But the school system, it must be an urban area deal with them shutting down school system in urban areas because that's a problem here in Chicago. And I'm going to deal with that to see if that's a problem in all urban cities all around the Midwest in America about them closing schools down and leaving people out here not educated. But before I deal with that, this you say the state treasurer is a Democrat. And this Democrat allowed a Democratic city to be taken over by a Republican governor with not even trying to assist the Democratic city in getting back on his feet. Is that what we're saying here?
There's no fight. No fight. No fight. I mean,
yeah,
you know what?
One thing I like to say about the whole the Kwame situation as well is, and you know, don't get me wrong, I didn't want to see the brother do wrong. I didn't want to see him do wrong, but he tried to play their game the way they play it.
Exactly.
And he
and
did
they,
it wrong.
And they bit him. They bit him. They bit him. That, you know what? And that's the way it works. Whenever you don't follow the agenda, you don't know what happened behind closed doors in certain meetings when he said enough is enough and no, no, no. Once you do that, then you get dealt with, and then they pull the carpet from under you, and everybody's looking at you as if you're the big bad wolf. All of them are wolves
right
now. You know what I'm saying? You know, we need to wake up and understand that, you know. And I just it's sad that this public lynching is taking place. It felt like a family member of mine have been killed, man. It hurts me to the core. You know, like I said, I think the brother was charismatic, was dynamic, and like you said, they just called us in earlier. None of this would have never happened had Kwame been mayor, flat out, because he can ignite the public. He can get out there and get the people riled up. Right now, everybody's asleep. You know, everybody's asleep, or, you know, everybody's comfortable. The big guys are comfortable. You know, so
right. And like you were saying, Keith, the you know, the leadership here. There's no outcry. My thing is, I'm pissed off at the leadership because nobody did anything back in 1999 when the governor came in and just outright, blatantly, just came in and just said, "Screw you, niggas in Detroit. I'm taking over this school district. I'm taking this over right now." There was no financial emergency. There was no academic emergency, and nobody stood up and said anything. And another thing another problem that we have as people in the city of Detroit is that we allow the media to cloud our judgment and to perpetuate all this bullcrap on us, and we believe it. We take it, you know, for the gospel instead of getting out there and really getting in this fight and doing what we have to do. You know, they talk about, you know, they put all these negative things out about the educational system, you know, about Detroit public schools. And what you were saying, Jimmy, yeah, this is an attack on public education, on urban education around the country. So what's going on in here, you know, what's happening in New Orleans, Philadelphia, Chicago, Detroit,
Cleveland.
Atlanta, Cleveland, every urban school district, every large urban school district where there are black and brown children, they are coming in and they're trying to rob public education and put it out there for these big for-profit companies. That's what they're doing. And not only that, Joe Madison spoke at my church last month with our African Ministries program, and he said something that really struck me. He said education is the new currency exchange for the 21st century, and it's about what you know and what you have knowledge of. And if you look at what they're doing to our public education in these urban areas, they're coming in with all this bullcrap reform that they have, they're dumbing down our kids. And they're trying to push this crap in and say that they're going to, that they're trying to reform and trying to educate our kids. This is the miseducation of the Negro. You know, and this is, you know, amplified 10, 20 times of what Carter G. Woodson was talking about. They're coming in and literally destroying our kids so that they won't have an education. They're going to get an inferior education, and they won't be able to survive in this global economy.
And this is why I'm Republican, Jason, and Kaylee. This is why I'm Republican, because here in Chicago, like Detroit, we have a highly Democratic county and city. And as I look at my part of town, like I played earlier, well, as I look at my part of town, I see black folks getting worse off. Like back in the 60s and 50s and 70s, we had less black leaders than we had today. We have more black leaders now than we ever have. And conditions for black America are silent. Here in the age of Obama, African Americans came out 92%, damn near 105%. They wouldn't really be happy with it. But yet, all you hear on the news and media was that the Hispanics came and put Barack Obama over. The Hispanics. Here's the funny part. Here's the funny part. Obama comes in. All you hear January, immigration, immigration. Luis Gutierrez, immigration, immigration. Jeb Bush, immigration. Barack Obama, financial cliff. Sequester, Chavez. I'm laughing at the Hispanics don't get played, just like the Negroes when they realize Barack Obama was just talking. Now, I'm not dissing Barack Obama. That's my man and all like that. But I'm saying now, in the state of Black America, in the age of Obama, we have gotten destroyed harder than Ronald Reagan had destroyed us, because all our economic base is literally wiped out. There is no tax base to even support our educational infrastructure. You got black flight. You got people leaving the motor, not investing in the motor, not even creating jobs in the motor. Like you said earlier, Jason, people buy the hype. People buy the hype about the situation and the conditions in. Instead of saying, let me invest my money there, they say, let me get out. Right now, Detroit is like a gold mine in real estate. People still, even in Detroit, are not even trying to reinvest in Detroit, not knowing that it might come up. I mean, you would think that GM would get bailed out and some of that residual effect from the auto part making company, from the auto part company, from people not losing jobs, that you would think that that would keep the plant hours open and that money still would recirculate back through Detroit. What seems to be the problem? If everybody, anyone, y'all can jump in, but if what can make bounce back? What can make Detroit bounce back? I mean, if you can pour a billion, because what Detroit need about $14 billion to get back on its feet. If the government bailed Detroit out with $14 billion, what can that do? What can get Detroit back on when you still got the same element that took Detroit down? When I mean element, I mean uneducated politicians or politicians who are speaking to uneducated voters. I don't know what it is, what's really happening. Could anyone help me out with that, please?
Well, I think one of the things that happened that really put us on the decline is like we mentioned earlier, was saying about that residency thing. When they, you know, did that and they started talking about, you don't want to stay in Detroit because Detroit is this, the crime is like that. So all these folks, and then that opened up for people that, you know, live out in other areas that could come in and work for the city and not live there. You know, and like I said, I know other areas, you're not going to work for the city and not live in the city and not pay taxes, that you have. And on that, and that, like I said, that's one of the things that, you know, we need to get back. But you had hit it when you said, you know, uneducated voters, uneducated folks are putting other uneducated politicians in place. You get people that just want to get out there just for the glory of it all, and not people that have really been out here working in the community, these community activists, things that have really been pushing for us in the community. You get these folks that just want to get out there, get their name in the lights, and say, hi, okay, I'm here. What do I do? They don't look at a person's experience, a person's education, professional background, and say, what qualifies you to be a city council person? What qualifies you to be a mayor? And like they got this white guy, Mike Duggan, who was over at the Detroit Medical Center, and he left that post, moved into Detroit, hadn't never lived in Detroit before. Then he moves into the one of the most influential areas in Detroit, and now he wants to he's a Detroiter, and he wants to be mayor. And he's not going to do anything but, you know, to further exasperate the situation, and that's not going to do any good for us because he still is not connected to the to the community. And one of the major things that, like you said about Obama, that he needs to address, you know, and if he doesn't address this issue of poverty, all this other stuff that they're talking about is not going to mean anything. And that's the main thing about what's going on in our communities and dealing with that is this whole issue of poverty. And that's what has us where we are. And if Obama's not going to address it, like I said, shame on him. And, you know, all the, you know, the support that we gave him, he needs to step in and look at it, you know, and put something down. Eric Holder, they need to see what's going on in Detroit and come in and really make a difference. And I do think the fans need to come in and help Detroit, make their comeback.
If we can rebuild Iraq and rebuild all these other third world countries, they can reinvest back into this country, you know, see the urban areas in this country, you know. So I think they owe us that much. And then
I agree. It's like a Marshall Plan because, you know, like here in Chicago, they like to glorify. Like I was talking to my father today, and was talking about all the lives that are lost. And I'm like, yeah, it is a travesty, but you know, I'm like in my, I hate to say it, like early 40s, late 30s. You know, y'all pick your number, and when I was coming up, it was tough. You could get shot by just the color of clothing, your shoestring, your hat cock, the armwear. It's not as like it was when I was coming up. When I was coming up, it was more dangerous. Only difference is now is that it's getting coverage on the news, and you're looking at the 23 people or the 44 people. I mean, I've been shot at. My son has not been shot at. I've been mobbed at. I've been jumped on. My son hasn't been jumped on. I can go blocks, can go downtown. I can go nowhere. I can take a transportation and go anywhere. Children can go places now, but they got it glorified as if it's dangerous, dangerous, dangerous. But that's the media got everybody locked in this little microcosm cube. But I just got off track. But this is what I'm going to ask you, Jason. When someone in Michigan or Detroit run for office on the Democratic ticket, the person who normally wins that primary normally wins the election. That's it, hands down, correct?
Normally,
no challenges and no one to even call the man to the table to challenge his issues whatsoever, correct?
Pretty much it goes like that, man. That's one of the main problems.
That's the problem. No power. Blacks don't know how to utilize power. Now, here you got Black people, councilmen's on TV, asked for Obama to come bail us out. All of a sudden, they don't know what happened to Detroit. Why did we get in this such economic crisis? I mean, it had to have occurred by the votes over the years that the councilman has made. You know, it just couldn't just wake up one day and Detroit wakes up with laws that say you can, if the city council cannot pass a law that states that no city worker cannot work in the city of Detroit. I mean, just that alone will employ Detroit. If the city council can pass that law, if they couldn't make it pass, why they put it on the state? Because of pension obligations? They wanted to be rid themselves out of the pensions? Was that a little economic move that they was trying to save money on? I don't know. I mean, help me out. I'm not from the city. Let me know something.
Like I said, man, since Coleman Young, man, you know, when Coleman Young was in office, man, and he ran Detroit, and that, he was, you know, the first, you know, Black mayor that we had to come in and take over, and they hated him. But he was, you know, what he wasn't going to allow this stuff to, you know, to go on, and you know, for Detroit to be, you know, played as a second class city, and you know, with these Republicans. But when you got these other folks coming in, and then they're, you know, don't have that same charisma or don't have that same, you know, tenacity like Coleman Young had, and they want to get in and try to conform to the status quo and just try to please everybody and start getting in bed with the, you know, with the wrong folks. And then you get, you know, like with Kwame, you know, coming in and just doing these things and not having to focus on the people and not really having the concern and the love for, you know, what's going on. And they just allow folks to get in. And over the years, because we had so much, you know, power and we were just so controlled, you know, we had everything going in Detroit, I guess folks just got out of thing like, okay, well, oh, man, this person wants to get in there or wants to run for office. Oh, okay, let them go in and have, you know, let them do their thing, you know. But it wasn't until we started, you know, losing city services, you know, things weren't getting done, and then you coming in, like, you know, one of the deals that Kwame Kilpatrick made, you know, with the casinos, he gave them a 30-year deal you know, with the casinos. And we're like, you know, we were, Detroit was like the laughing stock of the country because how in the world would you give them, you know, a deal? Because you're getting kickbacks on that. You know, and so folks coming in thinking about themselves and not really thinking about the people, and then the people are just kind of lulled to sleep and, you know, not really focused, you know, getting their focus on what it should be, and we just allow people to come in. So that's why I said the main part of it is was us, the people. We didn't hold these folks accountable, and we just let them do whatever they wanted to, and they came in, and once they start taking stuff away, then that's when people want to make noise. But like you said, a lot of the folks are not making noise because they have the sense of, oh, I don't want to be next, or I don't want to upset the apple cart. I don't want them coming after me, or, you know, they grease in my pocket, so I got to be quiet because they're going to expose me. You know, so that's, you know, where it is. Like I said, until the people really can, you know, get themselves together and put folks in office that really deserve to be there and that's going to have our best interests, you know, at heart, you know, we will never make that kind of comeback that Detroit, you know, that we need to make.
Yeah, let me write kind of breath in. Let me go back to the music from Detroit. This again is a group, my Sons of David, a.k.a. Sons of Thunder. Put you back on hold, Jason, because I got about half an hour to go, and I want you to let me know what, if you can come up with a plan, if you was in a position of authority or power, be on the local, county, state, or federal, what would you do, and how would you think to fix it or solve all the problems that's going on if you was in a position of power? Jimmy Lee Underground Radio, 347-838-9825. This is Bounce Back, everybody. Come on, Detroit, let's bounce back.
Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16. For a just man falleth seven times, and he rises up again. I fell short last night, but it's a new day. And for so long I was in the backslidden state. It's been times that I felt that I fell from grace, but since I'm still alive, I can repent today. Call on Yahweh to wipe my torment away. The love of God just makes me lament away. Come and see how he stunt new mercies every day. I've been through dark nights, but made it to them sunny days. I lost my mother and that was a devastating blow. It knocked the wind out me, I ain't wanna fight no more. I felt a fornication, porn and masturbation. Stagnant in my spirit, couldn't see elevation. We all sin, yeah, we fall short, but I'm bouncing back like a basketball on the court. Yeah, we have to treat this walk as if it is a sport. Play the game by the rules, try not to fall no more.
Nothing can stop my shine, Lord knows I ain't lying. The world says a just man falls seven times. I done bounce back, Jesus made me bounce back. I done bounce back, Jesus made me bounce back. Nothing can stop my shine, Lord knows I ain't lying. The world says a just man falls seven times. I done bounce back, Jesus made me bounce back. I done bounce back, Jesus made me bounce back.
I was like a pig that was all washed up, clean as a whistle, back to wallow in the mud. I was like a dog that just threw up and ran back to it just to lap it up. Almost apostate, abandonment of faith, just because some things wasn't working out my way. I went on my runs like the prodigal son, but back to my father's arms I would have to run. He showed me true love, my father embraced me, when the average person probably would have hated me. After I turned my back and did my own thing, he still accepted me back and made my heart change. Then he purged me with hyssop, then made me get up. I was dark in my heart, but my inner man lit up. Man, what was I thinking? In my sin, I was sinking. I didn't profit nothing from all this flesh bleeding.
Nothing can stop my shine. Lord knows I ain't lying. The world says a just man falls seven times. I done bounce back. Jesus made me bounce back. I done bounce back. Jesus made me bounce back. Nothing can stop my shine. Lord knows I ain't lying. The world says a just man falls seven times. I done bounce back. Jesus made me bounce back. I done bounce back. Jesus made me bounce back.
Greater is he that is in me, man. He that's in the world, boy. Saved by grace through faith, I'm not confined to this world, boy. Satan thought he had me. Daddy ain't raised no sucker. Persevering through struggle to suffer has made me tougher. Even when I lost my mother, felt like I was dying. But I kept the faith that God kept my mind. Put me back on the grind. I'm back on the mission. Contend in any condition, transition, any season drop. All I gotta do is believe. I don't even die.
my shine. Lord knows I ain't lying. The world sets a chip, man. Four, seven times, I done bounce back. Jesus made me bounce back. I done bounce back. Jesus made me bounce back. Nothing can stop my shine. Lord knows I ain't lying. The world sets a chip, man. Four, seven times, I done bounce back. Jesus made me bounce back. I done bounce back. Jesus made me bounce back.
In no way am I trying to encourage somebody that's sinning and displeasing God to continue doing it. I'm just trying to encourage somebody that took a hard fall like me and hit rock bottom. I just want to let you know that if you hit rock bottom like me, you can bounce back. All you got to do is repent and give God your heart back. Get back in the fight and start the run again, baby.
Walking down the street now is a dangerous thing. There are drug dealers, crack houses, gang members, and crackheads. People fighting, cursing, and killing too. So much chaos, we don't know what to do. But if people only knew that they are hurting little children, if they could only see what our community could be. When in consultation, 1, stay calm. 2, try to say something positive. 3, tell the person what's on your mind. 4, ask if the person understands. 5, thank the person for listening if you can. Come on, y'all, let's be an example. It has to start somewhere. How about now? For more information on ways to prevent violent crimes, contact Totally Positive Productions at 773-488-9553.
Get a there was a boy, a very strange enchanted boy. They say he wandered very far, very far over land. A little shy, and sad, but very wise, what he magic day my way. And while we spoke of many things, this he said to me, the great a little lonely, and sometimes I get a little blue. The greatest thing is just to love, be loved in return.
Boy, 478-389-825. I'm Lost Keith and Swift, so let me ask Jason that question. What if you was in power, how could you, or what could you do, or what could you think about doing to get Detroit to bounce back?
One of the things definitely that I would do, man, is we would have to reinstate that residency requirement. If you're going to work for the city, you definitely got to live in the city, you know, and really to do something to really build up our, you know, to get our tax base back, you know, back intact. That's one of the main things that we need to do, and that will actually address the, you know, the issue with funding for education in the city of Detroit. You know, as well, and definitely one of the main things that I would really look at is to really, truly turn around the educational, you know, the education system here with Detroit Public Schools, because I think that's going to be one of the key points to the turnaround of Detroit is, you know, how viable our education system, our educational system is, because, you know, you cannot attract any businesses or companies to the city if your educational system is in disarray, you know, because that's going to be one of the first things that they look at. And to really, you know, think of some ways to really address the issue of poverty through, you know, throughout the city and how we can really get engaged in that. And, you know, looking at some, you know, a number of different programs, and I would definitely go out and seek the best minds to come in, you know, for, you know, finances. So those that people with integrity and morals that will come in that have a background and a track record for, you know, the things that we do. I would have to go out and get people that were definitely a lot smarter than I am, you know, in these key areas and these key positions to really, you know, formulate a plan to, you know, to really to bring Detroit back, man. And just really got to get the community and get everybody involved in that, you know, because it's going to have to go all the way down to the grassroots level. And, you know, it's just not going to take, it just can't take, like, you know, a mayor or somebody that's in control. It has to get back down to the people. We have to get back to that sense of community, that sense of family, like we had years ago, to, you know, where, and people take a responsibility, you know, for themselves, for their family, for their children, and really become that village in raising up and building up our community again.
Yeah, I can get that in. I just lost Swift. Hey, Swift, when you get back, I see your call had just dropped. Now, what I was leaning toward before my man Keith Lee dropped off the phone and I was going, this politician thing, I guess I got him nervous, but when I asked you a question about after the primary, that's basically it. You see, I chose to run here in Chicago as a Republican. I ran for Water Reclamation Commission. I got about 250,000 votes, which was hot for me, since I only spent $500, and I was like on bus fare and flyers, and the people felt me. But I ran for Congress. I didn't put a lot of effort too much into it, just a test run to see how good my run was. I was trying to just not win. When it was a win-win for me, I was just trying to make it to the general election. Now, I know it's a Democratic county and congressional district, but I felt that if I had the opportunity to let the people hear that what is going on is incorrect and improper and immoral, and it's not justified that people can elect the same people over and over and over again and nothing else changes. And the sad part about it is that no matter what Democrat get in there, the Democrats have an agenda. It's just that the blacks don't realize that they're the voting class, the people don't realize that there's an agenda. Let me get this right out here out there. You got Barack Obama, he tried to get his health care bill out there passed. It wasn't the Republicans that stopped him. It was his own party, the Democrats. If he had a public option in it, then folks who file their taxes won't find their money short because they ain't got no insurance. You know, and then when grandma get old, they realize, oh, you're 89 years old. Why we can't be just coming here getting this pacemaker charged up. You know, you ain't got too much longer on your life. when all these little cuts come out. See, the Democrats did that so they can really mess up Obama so he won't be this grand and glorious thing. Obama ain't never cut the Bush tax cut. He's killing everybody left and right, more drones than anybody. He done killed more Africans than starvation right now. He done killed more African people than hungry. That's how many people Obama has killed. But if it's white, blacks been in uproar like there was when Bill Clinton had the Black Hawk down, but he's a black man, blacks giving him a pass. There's no black all revolutionary, all African, AR, whatever these black power nationalists was back in my 90s and early 2000s. Stay out of Africa, one globe, one Africa. You don't hear them even screaming about all the atrocities taking place in Tanzania, Somalia, Mali. Timbuktu is on a warpath. The center of education right now is being destroyed, and not one black mind is saying, help, stop Mali, save Timbuktu. No one is screaming out anything. It's that we've been lulled to sleep. And the fact of the matter is that blacks, Democrats, has reached to the apex, and they feel that they got what they want, and they're satisfied. That's why Detroit is like it is right there, because they're satisfied. You know, they're not listening to the plan or the person with the R on their name saying, hey, wake up, everybody. Just because you got an R, that person's got to be wrong, not knowing that these Democratic people, like you said, has let Detroit go down. You have a Democratic mayor that said, okay, I'm willing to give up. I can't do the job. I'm too old for the job. Thank you for electing me, people, but I'm too old. I'm going to give it up to the state. Now, here's the funny part. Outside of Michigan area, you're looking at it, the Republicans taking over Detroit. No. Detroit was willing to give himself up to Republicans. And the Democratic Council allowed for all this atrocity, the drip to go down. In my mind, Detroit's a gold mine. You go there and buy some Detroit property. Sit on that. Why leave? Why run away? Why not invest in Detroit right now? Why not educational-minded individuals go form charters to open up charter schools to get the charter money to educate individuals? Why not blacks open up private schools to get them vouchers so blacks can educate themselves? Why not right now can we take a chance on separate but equal? Right now we got a chance. All separate but equal, but Democrats are going to scream, vouchers are no good, don't open those schools up, keep the money all messed up so blacks won't be educated, and niggas go scream the same thing, vouchers are fucked up, charters are fucked up, hey niggas, start your own charters, educate our own people. Hey, Jason, have you heard that all your life, man? We need to educate our own. Have you heard that, my man? Have you heard that?
Hey, that's, you know, we just talked about that, you know, Keith and I, man, in school, we used to talk about that a lot, like, oh, man, we're going to get there and start our own school. Man, we're going to start this. And
he said, listen, here's opportunity now. Let's charters. Let's charters. Corporations, open up systems to educate people and get paid out of it. Why can't black folks do that? How come Central State, Jackson State, Tennessee State, Wilberforce, all these black institutions cannot go into business of charter schools so their education majors can come out with a job? Education needs to get into something in the system, and we get a chance to educate our own. We have an opportunity here for separate but equal, but the Democratic Party has some way of making charters and vouchers seem to be the AR piss off all of schooling. And with all my lifetime, since I was a little boy, even saying the black school system was fucked up, and now I'm old and I got kids that went through it and going to college and it's still messed up, it's never going to get better unless we take charge of our own. And right now, the opportunity is here right now. But because it's a Republican plan, niggas will reject it all day long. I'm just saying, all day long. I mean, the opportunities that are there for people right there to be had, to be handled. I go here. I mean, we need more black babies. Everybody wants to scream abortion. What's up? We need more black babies. Hey, what the hell? No, I'll get rid of them. I don't want to take care of them. I'm just saying. We have lost our moral fiber and our moral values. I mean, it's like that. We'd rather roll with a party that says gay civil rights is equal to black civil rights, that being a fag is equal to... Excuse me, I'm not trying to disrespect the homosexual. This is my show. But being homosexual is equivalent to the struggles that African Americans went through in the 60s. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I feel you on, you know, definitely on that.
Transgender, being a transgender, I'm transgender, I'm just like you, black man. We're the same part, we got to save us.
Definitely an opportunity, you know, for us, you know, to get in. But like I said, even what they're going through with, you know, all this, you know, with the charters and with this whole voucher thing, you know, and it's still almost like, you know, we really, you know, it's not enough of us that can get in there and to, you know, to get these charters. We got something that's going. And, you know, a lot of those are doing, those charters are doing well. But then when you got these, you know, these big companies that's behind all of this, that's, you know, coming in for this straight for profit, you know, and a lot of these charters that they're opening up, they're still not, you know, paying these teachers like they should. And, I have that. If we can get in, and I've thought about this, you know, about starting, you know, a charter school or even getting, you know, a number of, you know, schools and getting folks together. But like you said, a lot of people, they look at it, you know, they just scared. They're scared to step out and to do it. I mean, we got the talent. We got the talent pool, you know, to do this. We got enough educators, black educators that know what they're doing, that we know how to run a school system. We know how to, you know, how to educate our children. And, you know, and so we don't have to, you know, have them sending folks in, like these Teach for America, you send these white Ivy League students in to say that they're going to come in and help our lowest performing children. No, they don't know how to educate our children. And we see it, you know, every day that it's not happening. And like I said, we just need more folks, you know, to get in. And that's been my mantra right now is like, okay, well, if this is the route they're going, then we need to get together and start our own schools. We need to get together and have our own, you know, and forget about, you know, with this, because now all these public school systems are in debt. They get these millions of dollars of debt, you know, so, you know, that's not for us right now. And it's not being conducive, you know, for us. So we need to get out there, and if we really want to turn things around, get out there and truly have our own. You know, and truly have our own, you know, about to have our own communities, our own schools, our own businesses and things that we support. Let's get out there and really do that. You know, and my thing is, I don't care if you, you know, you're Democrat or Republican. We need, you know, we need brothers and sisters in both parties so that our agenda can be pushed, you know, forward. You know, that, I've always thought about that. I was like, you know what, why not have, you know, black Republicans, you know, black folks in the Republican Party so that we can get our agenda pushed over there as well. Because, you know, just coming out here just depending on the Democratic Party, and they do it, you know, and they're doing us just as, you know, everybody is. You know, they get in, they use us and say, okay, y'all got us in office, you know, we got your votes, okay, but we're not going to, you know, listen to your agenda. You know, we act like we're listening to you, but we're not going to move on it. We're not going to do anything. And, you know, that's that. So we get, you know, we need to truly, you know, to truly have our own. And we need to get together, man. So people need to get in that, you know, that mindset and understand what that concept is, and stop thinking about that, you know, that one party is, you know, going to. My whole thing is like, shit, let's form our own daggone party.
I'm with that, but sometimes it's difficult. But let me ask you, I'm going to take another break, but come play this other Detroit music from the Troopers. That dig this though. Two questions I want to ask you before I wrap it up. Well, if there was such thing as a black agenda, what would it consist of? And is it about the money or is it about the education? Again, everybody, it's my part of town, Troopers Lodge.
Yeah, I think, you know, the agenda.
My part of town, my part of town, it's similar to Vietnam. My part of town, it's similar to Vietnam. My part of town, it's similar to Vietnam.
You don't know,
cause
you don't feel what I feel.
My part of town, it's similar to Vietnam.
You don't know, cause you don't feel.
I'm from the place of domestic violence, for the people dying from the self-hatred virus, where the kids go to school and they think learning is cruel. Must forget about the kids in the world with no shoes, a food to eat for a freaking week. We walk around $100 sneakers on our feet and brag and boast in the ghettos as we toast the Patron, claiming streets we don't even own, on crone in our home. I'm devoid of a father figure. That's why the brothers be out here like I'm a
gangster nigga.
Learn your history lesson. Learn how they slaughtered and murdered our ancestors. How? Now that's gangster, how they did our ancestors. Now, you ain't a gangster because you say it on the record, huh? The real gangster, you fakers, are the automakers and the bankers that still owe us 40 acres.
My part of town, my part of town, it's similar to Vietnam.
You don't know.
Part
pockets is empty, ain't that strange? Across 8 Mile, it's calm. Detroit is more similar to Vietnam. And the unified niggas is a hard-ass job. We want to live in these slums and let our sounds go. Boom, boom. Done when we young. Be damned if it's one of my sons not come where I'm from.
Where you from?
And take a walk down Murder Lane on the Ave where the girls are insane. Put the sag, I hate on the flag. How long will this foolishness last? Can you add, do the math, huh? Fast food plus some cartoons, plus the lack of love equal kids so rude. Parents too soon, killing to get more.
Get money,
we're spiritually poor, this is war.
My part of town, it's similar to Vietnam.
You don't know.
Around here ain't nobody hiring. How about they come to your crib and steal your copper wiring? Or even worse off, get to firing. Have me down chasing pavement cause your car they admiring. I bet you wouldn't think it's over then. Tough times turn warm hearts to colder men. And it ain't just the youth, it's the older men. It's floating after so long from holding in. Pain stains the heart till you can't smile. And Vietnam ain't got nothing no finger to 8 Mile. It's enough to make your bones quiver. I'm surprised they ain't put battleships in the Detroit River. This ain't living, this is hell. People feel like they living in a prison, no different than a cell. Cause they scared to walk the streets they dwell, wondering if they gonna be another innocent kill. Cause cats lost consciousness, they killing at will. Whatever happened to the love revealed? Let's bring it back, huh?
My part of town, my part of town, it's similar to Vietnam.
You don't know.
Yeah, 347-838-9825. That was Troopers Lodge from Detroit. Yeah, no, Jason, I threw that, is it about the money or education? Because I have a lot of conversation with educators, and everyone says they paying these teachers all this money and that money. You got to teach people, you know, for money. But sometimes it's just me talking. I ain't trying to speak to nobody because, you know, being a Republican, I do really make your money in the capitalist system. But sometimes I feel that, and all for the next generation to survive, the present generation must sacrifice. And sometimes there's a sister by the name of Marva Collins. She got fed up here in Chicago and said they're not teaching our children anything. So she went out and got some books, which can, and started a school called Westside Preparatorial School, which became one of the most prestigious schools in Chicago. It became private. People gave her money. She sat there and talked. She took a lot of money, she took enough money to keep everything rolling, but the point I was coming at is that sometimes we got to step out of the system in order to educate ours. We ask the educational system to give us money and money and money. We ask Arne Duncan, who messed Chicago Board of Education system up, to help the America's public education system up, and what's happening. Schools in Chicago is closing. Arne Duncan was president and was CEO in Chicago. Our educational department here in America and schools are closing up in all urban areas. You, like you said, and I know it's an epidemic even in Detroit, you got Teach America coming in, taking over the urban school system, trying to educate your kids, and then when they get fed up, they want to go on strikes, then the black kids are upset with the situation, and they don't know how to deal with it. Hold on, I got KP back in. Let me bring it back in. Yeah, what were you saying, KP? I'm sorry, take off. But I was just saying, yeah, Arne Duncan sitting here, and now schools are closing up everywhere. It's as if all our lives we have known that the education system has been a joke, but yet we always ask them to educate our children, give us more money for our kids, give us all this that for our kids. I'm just saying, you know, Just jump in anytime you want to feel a choice. I got about 15 minutes ago. Just jump in anytime you want to.
Yeah, you know, I'm definitely feeling, you know, what you're saying there. Now, with this, you know, whole piece on education, and it's the attack on urban education, man. And that's one of the things with my dissertation, you know, working on my doctorate, that I'm definitely going to write, it's going to be the destruction of urban education, the destruction of urban education, because that's, you know, what they're doing. And I think that, like you said, Iron Duncan is coming in, and he's trying to push this agenda. And he's, you know, the main one that's really pushing for, you know, for these charters and vouchers as the way that it is now for these for-profit, you know, companies or these billionaires to come in, like the Jeb Bushes and, you know, the Eli Bros to come in and to think that they can just, you know, throw their, you know, little money behind to get their agenda pushed forward. And it's only, you know, and it's only going on in urban centers. You know, why not take this stuff out here to these suburban, you know, school districts and deal with that with your children. Leave our children and our children, the education of our children to us, you know, because we, you know, we know best on how to educate our children. You know, like I was saying, and you're right, it's, you know, it's not about the money thing, because that's, you know, even with myself, before I got into education, I was, you know, engineer at GM. You know, I worked for GM for 3 years. You know, when I decided to leave that corporate structure and to go into education, you know, I took a $25,000.
Hold on, Jay. I got Gino. When I got a little 9 minutes. Let me chime in. Let me get this opinion right now. Man, I'm sorry you just chimed in a little bit late, Gino, but we were talking about earlier. If you can, a little bit, give us your opinion on this. We're dealing with education. We just jumped from the take over Detroit public school, I mean, the city of Detroit, by the mayor, but right now we're dealing with education. I got a couple of teachers online, and I was wondering how come some brothers like you all from Michigan cannot get together and form a corporation, start opening your own charters or start your own private schools and pushing those vouchers so y'all can get that money or those dollars and start educating children in Detroit. What's your take on that, Gino?
Well, you know, one of the things is what happened today is probably a changing of the avant-garde. Detroit, if you are a college graduate that comes back home to the city of Detroit, 30, 40 years in the making, you could not get a good quality job or get any kind of opportunity in the Board of Education as far as upper being a superintendent or the right guy or in city politics or city office or city jobs. It's been a machine since Coleman Young has ran it. You know, Archer came in and did a couple of changes. But now, you know, then you got this, it's got a weaker leadership now. We got weak leadership in the mayor's office. Our city council is weak. We don't, you're absolutely right when you say we're not doing enough. And maybe now the door opens up. Now maybe those things change. Maybe things change and people like Jason goes in there and runs the school board and solidify the education system, because that is one of the poorest education systems around, because the teachers just don't care as much. They're more concerned about safety. We're not addressing the concerns about the safety issue. You can't. The first thing that people have to fear in life, period, is safe. So for that, in order to have a good school system in the city of Detroit, you got to make sure the kids feel safe even going to school. So we have to do more as far as making sure that our police department is guarding the school and kids can go to school without having to worry about being bullied, killed, robbed, murdered. You know, these things that we're not addressing. We addressed a lot of things about cutting the budget, cutting the police department, cutting the fire department. Detroit is not safe. So in order for you, before you can even talk about building the educational system, you got to make it safe for people to even walk around Detroit. And that ain't happening, because everybody's looking at the financial situation, but they're not looking at the reason that Detroit is so broke is because Detroit don't have any citizens. We're not paying into our property tax. Nobody lives here. You know, people are moving out. The people that are left in Detroit is left there because they have no choice to get out. The majority of people are just leaving Detroit, so because it's not safe. So in order to get a good quality school system and get the right people in place, you got to make people feel comfortable. Why would you pass a law that let police officers who supposed to be guarding you, they live out of Sterling Heights, they live out of Southfield, Farmington Hills, they don't live in Detroit, so they don't care. So how do you have a police department, you cut their hours, they move out of the suburbs, they don't give a damn about anybody in Detroit. The whole system is flawed. You got to revamp the whole system, but you got to have the right leadership. And maybe with a lot of changes coming ahead, maybe that'll happen. But right now, that's part of the problem. It's just not a safe place for kids to go to get an education. So no matter what the teachers do or what they think of, you got to address one of the first concerns of everybody, and that's safety. And we have not done that because we just cut our police department and we to 12, working them 12 hours, and they're working overtime shifts, and they don't care. They're on the news, you know, obviously in disguise, voice only, but they're on the news, and they're telling you we're overworked. We can't get over there to that homicide because we got two other homicides before that. Now, there's a problem there. And no state is running
like
that.
It's not only Detroit, Gino, because in Chicago, Ronnie Mayo just told our police department we ain't got to do 911 calls. So they're breaking your crib. Don't call the police. Go online. If you're getting you're slapped around domestic violence, go online, file a report. You know, they're only going to deal with street murders on the street. So if somebody breaking your house or steal your car, you just fill out a profile police report. I'm just saying, it's an attack on urban cities everywhere. I'm looking at Detroit because...
You know, everywhere. Because in order for you to do it, number one, our teachers and our police department are underpaid. And number one, no police officers should all have an associate's degree, minimum, to a bachelor's degree, and get promoted. But they should learn social criminology and psychocriminology, where they can start learning how to deal with groups and how to deal with individuals on the street and be better prepared with opportunities to advance to go off into other fields and not have a long-term commitment to the police department. Police department should be treated like the military. If you serve, then we'll give you an opportunity to have, you know, go farther in your education and do something more with yourself. You gotta bring people into the fold. You gotta reward these guys for getting out there and working the streets. The police, they overworked. They're underpaid. It's a lot to go on out in this city. And first of all, if you can remember, Jimmy, when you were young and when I was young, we had community centers. You know, you need somewhere with kids to go. Kids don't have nowhere to go. They don't have a job. They got nowhere to go. You know, that's part of the problem. And then you have the young men who wants to be, you know, instead of going to school and being something like a teacher, or like how we went to school, the educators or business people, they want to be rappers or NBA players. They fulfilling a falsified dream that ain't going to come true. And now you got the young ladies who are glorifying being a stripper. I mean, and they have on videotapes you see all over town fighting each other in the streets, being wild and crazy. What happened to the black family? We're attacking ourselves more than they're attacking us. We allow things that happen in the system to affect us. We got to do something. Everybody got to do something. Because this is a state of emergency. This is a state of emergency in the black family. Martin Luther King will probably turn over on his grave and be laying up on his stomach with his pants down, the way we're getting screwed up in here now. I mean, you got a black president. You think that everybody would wake up, see that all opportunities are unlimited now, and we can go forward. But we're not. We're actually going backwards. And I don't know, you know, as a father, a single parent raising my daughter, whose mother passed away, and I'm responsible for raising her, I teach her all the right values on what life is about. Now, if I can do it, I think anybody and everybody can do it. And you ain't got to be rich. You just got to care. And you got to be concerned. You got to care about what your kid is going to do, because these kids are getting exposed to things that we don't even know. The internet is too much information for a young child. They get a hold of information, and they're seeing too much, and some too many things are glorified, and they think this is the way of life. The information can be deadly at times. I mean, there's internet bullies. You know, you hear stuff that you never even heard about. A bully was somebody you saw, and you turned away and went the other way in school. Now the bully's on your website, hacking into your page, and stuff like that. They bully you when you are not even at school. So, you know, the way everything is, the system is done, like, it's too much information for the kids. And we got to start, we got to regulate ourselves. We, as parents, we got to do better. And Detroit got to do better. We like Chicago. We're a long way away because everybody got to wake up. It's got to be a wake-up call, or it's going to be late. It's going to be, the city is going to be infiltrated. White people eventually going to make all the blacks move out, and they're going to take over. That's why the guy, Quicken Loans, he's buying up everything in Detroit cheap. So eventually, Detroit's going to come back. They're going to sell it off to white people, and the white people going to, he'll buy all these buildings, all these properties in downtown Detroit. And then they're going to run everybody out of town because ain't nobody going to like the school. It's unsafe. And then all of a sudden, when all that stuff go down, all these billionaires that buy up all this property going to sell it to their own counterparts. And they're basically going to be, they just basically going to move black people out of there, out of a certain radius from the downtown area, incorporate that and start making Detroit prosper again by trying to prosper, nobody else in the, out of the city is going to benefit.
Well, listen, Gino, Jason, I got these brothers, I guess, from Omega Psi Phi breaking stuff down here on the line. Listen, I got 60 seconds. Listen, if I can get y'all back on tomorrow for part two, I can continue this conversation. You be free, Gino, tomorrow?
Absolutely.
What about you, Jason?
Yeah, I should be. Yeah, I got class, but I'll be done by by the time the show comes on.
Keith Lee. Yeah, that's the man, Keith. That boy, Keith. He always get the mic. All right, this is Jimmy's Underground Radio Network. We're going to continue tomorrow. I'm out of time. They're going to talk me to death. Thank you for coming on, Gino, with your spot. You too, Keith. You too, Jason. We continue tomorrow. And like I said, Jason, man, I'm telling you, it's about power, man. Think about starting a little Republican Party in Detroit, man. It should be no way that those black Democrats allow those like that.
Okay.
I'll see y'all tomorrow. Thank you for tuning in. Jimmy's Underground Radio.
All right. Peace out.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
What's your radio for?